All right, the East End Report, folks, is sponsored by the Triangle Pub, home of the great burgers, gigantic, delicious burgers that you will devour. Located at the Eastbourne Manor Road traffic light, family-friendly Triangle Pub, legendary restaurant, satisfying patrons that have never stopped returning to the great Eastport's Triangle Pub. Robert DePiro, sir, how are you?
Jay, good morning. I see they finally listed the start date to the Islanders-Penguins series set for Sunday at noon on NBC. I've been tracking it the past couple of days, and it's very weird. The Western Conference is still going on with regular season games, as they will. Pretty much there'll be like a full week of the West will be finishing up their season while the East has already wrapped up. And for some odd reason, you have like two teams in the West who aren't going to be in the playoffs, but the league felt they had to finish their season just to put a nice little bow on things.
Yeah,
it's going to be a Canadian big
gap. Canadian division as well. Boston, Washington tomorrow, by the way, the other first rounder right in the East. So I like the Islanders matchup here. I'd rather they play Pittsburgh in the opening round than Boston or Washington. I feel they match up a lot better, and let's see what happens. You know, they 2 years ago they knocked them out four straight. So let's see what happens.
But
the Islanders are going to play a lot better. I'm a little concerned with Varlamov manning the nets. Hopefully he'll be okay. I'd like to see him start tomorrow. We'll see. But should be a lot of fun. Pittsburgh is playing lights out, though.
I agree with you that, Jay, the Islander style is better suited playoff-wise. But if you've looked at the regular season games this year, the Penguins kind of owned the Islanders. They won almost every game. So keep that in mind. But playoffs are a whole new another ball game. They neutralized them 2 years ago with their playoff style. But nothing beats playoff hockey.
Yeah, then nothing beats Sidney Crosby when he's healthy, that's for sure. So that's something to keep an eye on for those Penguins. All right, let's get to some stuff. Let's start with the Valva stuff. You got the pretrial hearings. We had it in the crime report with the Sarge before. Listen, it's about loopholes. It's about warrants and everything else, because that's the only way a defense attorney can play this thing, because the other stuff is just so damning against Michael Valva and Angelo Pelina at this point in time. So we'll see what happens here. But again, you had 3 days of all this evidence being admissible, right?
Correct. Now, the one thing that jumped out at me was Detective Michael Aranca testifying the other day that Angelo Pelina willingly gave him the username and the password to the video surveillance system. I would kind of think that destroys Valva's attorney's whole case. But also, to me, it looks like you see a little bit of cooperation now with Pelina when it comes her turn to bat, something I've always thought was going to happen.
We'll see. Kid died of hypothermia. Let's not forget that.
Yeah.
19 degrees in that garage. Mid-January 2020. Let's never forget that, you know. But you know what? It is what it is. We'll see what happens here, and hopefully it sticks as far as what happens here, as far as what could happen here to Valva and his girlfriend or fiance.
The big part of this trial will be when, Paulina's a defense attorney, has already said she's testifying. So that's going to... my guess, likely seal the deal. So, but again, I don't know how that's going to work, because she was complicit. She was complicit with this whole deal.
She was there. She was living in the house. Are you telling me you did not witness any of this stuff that went on between the former cops? Kids? I mean, come on. Let her take the stand. My goodness. I mean, come on. You're going to say you didn't know what was going on within the parameters of that household in Santa Maria? Are you kidding me? You know?
But
urine-soaked clothing, filthy clothing, kids not taking a bath before they hit the school? You were not a witness to this?
But usually you use the person to turn against the other person to help seal the case. This case doesn't need sealing. Therefore, they prosecutors aren't going to gain anything. So this is a weird case, in fact, where you have the defense is going to put the co-defendant on the stand looking really guilty as far as complicit in the death of Michael Valva. It's almost the opposite. You know, usually, like, you know, the prosecution would want you to turn evidence, you know, against the co-defendant. So are they going to end up giving, will she end up getting some kind of deal because she would be testifying against him, even though, like you said, she was there?
Listen, I don't know about that. All I know is it's pretty damning as far as all this stuff that'll come out against both of them. So we'll see what happens. Yeah. All right, let's get to where are we going here? Let's go to 555. Talk to me about the 555 deal and everything else. What's happening there?
Yeah, apparently that mall has sustained quite a bit of losses. That New Jersey mall that was touted when they first announced that, well, really when they first kind of somehow entered the fray as a tag team partner with Luminati, this can't make the opponents feel that good. Actually, it probably makes them feel a little bit better. They've been maintaining, questioning their finances all along. Now, are we going to go on this merry-go-round of here we go again, where you have the savior of EPCAL, Grumman, that parcel that's been sitting there for 25 years, handed to the town by the U.S. Navy for the princely sum of $1. Nothing's been done. Remember we talked about the gigantic 50-foot-tall ski mountain that was awarded, and then the Newsday uncovered that the developer had gone broke overseas. So, I mean, on the surface, it looks like 555 is loaded. But this is drawing the attention of the opponents. Still, here we are years later when this began. It's been more than 2 years to where this process began. Normally, you figure this takes, what, about a year? This deal is no closer to being sealed. Even though the town has approved them being in the driver's seat, it's still, there's been no ribbon cutting. Let's put it that way.
Interesting. I mean, what else can go wrong, right? I mean, listen, Riverhead is used to this stuff. So,
the attorney with the forged signature on their part. Again, they are loaded. They definitely are well off financially. Yeah. The problem is you keep having these different things, not even related to them. You had that whole thing with the DEC, you know, with the state, you know, about the whole situation there with the Suffolk County. I'm sorry, the Suffolk County Water Authority claimed we have the rights. Riverhead Water District saying we have the rights. Everything possible to hold this up has been holding it up. It's almost like it's an omen.
Rob DePure, Eastern Report. Let's run through a couple of things here. What's this thing with RIV, my old stomping grounds there, with the migrant kids? What's that all about?
It's simply an advertiser, a radio commercial that a person that is a big outspoken opponent is running on that radio station. He's claiming that it's awful, the fact that there is a consulate now, a Guatemalan consulate now is going to be opening on Main Street in Riverhead. It's going to be opening up within the week. It is a paid radio commercial, so it's not the, you know, it's not the editorial of the radio station. It's paid for by attorney Ron Hariri of Aquabog. He's urging Riverhead School District voters to defeat the $160 million upcoming budget and also to vote Riverhead Supervisor Yvette Aguiar out of office. I'm not really sure why he would be adding Yvette Aguiar into the fray. She's actually kind of clamped down on issues such as overcrowding and illegal housing. So to me, that seems a little bit misguided. Hariri, in his radio ad, is claiming that the school district is currently at 60% Latino. Supervisor Aguiar merely gave out a statement saying that it's unfortunate there are those in the township who have decided to use the consulate's opening to try to influence the school budget vote. And I don't even know what his point would be if you defeat the school budget, as Ron Hariri is, you know, his attempt is. I don't know how that would affect any more of an influx of Guatemalan citizens into the town of Riverhead.
I mean, I've known Ron for years, but, you know, listen, why does he want Aguiar out anyway? I mean,
well, that's my question.
Listen, that's a little nutty. A couple of more here. What have we got in Southall going with this new preserve?
Yeah, well, actually, Jay, this was what I was going to mention. First was you had the Lyle Wells farm, which just came about. If you remember, he was that longtime farmer. He was killed in a terrible accident with machinery. It was like 5 a.m. back, I think, in 2018. Well, they the family of Wells have now sold their development rights to 11-plus acres of farmland in Aquabog. It's going to be developed housing rights. Usually, you know, you see the farms preserved, but the Wells family said that, you know, the father did say at some point, you know, when you determine, the children determine what the future of the farm will be, if you wish to sell it, you may sell it. So development rights sold for $613,800. This is according to the Riverhead News Review, which also states that this was one of the original land grants that the William Wells received from the town of Southold. This goes back, Jay, to 1661. This Wells family has been farming this for almost 500 years. That is incredible. That's incredible.
Labeled that land historic, you know, that is a staple there, no question.
Hey,
town of Southampton, as far as regarding the legal, what's that?
You want to get to Charles Reagan, a no-show in the civil case, Angelina, I'm sorry, that the Anastasia.
No surprise there. Yeah.
He's yet to, he didn't show up for the court appearance, whether in person, you know, or by teleconference. So they're going to serve him. He's currently living at his parents' house in Manorville. And I guess they're going to give him another shot, but he would definitely default by not showing up, which is kind of absurd because you could put up any kind of defense. But if you show up, if you don't show up, even by way of a Zoom conference, you've
lost. Is there any defense for what that you-know-what did? Is there any defense? There is no defense.
I have no idea, but there were never any criminal charges. Don't forget, there were never any criminal charges. That was dropped a month ago. I would think that he could have at least attached himself to that using that aspect in a civil case. So he's handed this dropping of the charges as far as, you know, whether it's criminal or not. So she sues him civilly. He could use the fact that those charges were dropped, but he's not. He has no attorney. He fired his attorney months back. He hasn't replaced them. He hasn't been in contact with the court.
He doesn't have a defense, especially with all the shenanigans from the past as well, even prior to Riverhead. Time for one more, and that's the town of Southampton. Are they going by way of the strategy of the town of Riverhead regarding the legalization of cannabis? What's the deal there?
Yeah, they will. I think all the towns will have this on the ballot. But it is kind of murky because, as the Southampton Press mentions in its newest edition, it's going to be confusing to when you go to vote because you have to have a referendum, a public referendum, to put the public referendum on the ballot. Do you follow me? You can't just put that on the ballot. Can the town? Are you in favor of legalization of marijuana sales in the town of Southampton? You have to have it specifically stated. Does the public wish to put a referendum on so that you can vote on the referendum? They're going to have to work this out because, as the town, as the Southampton Press states, it's going to confuse ballots, voters. You know, when they go in, you know, normally voters would be asked, should the town opt out of the ability to allow retail dispensaries and on-site consumption? Normally you'd vote yes or no. But they were hashing it through on a town board work session, and they're trying to determine the whole legality of putting something that has been approved by a bigger legal authority, and that's New York State. So normally you have, like, if it's a town and you come up with your own local law, you know, whatever it is, there's your proposition. But you're going to have a proposition which kind of says, should this legalization by your own New York State be allowed? So there's a little bit of a twist in this situation.
A lot of towns don't want any part of this. They know the deal. It's too much going on. Right now the island is already suffering from inconsistencies regarding drugs and everything else. Now you put the emphasis on cops trying to do the right thing, trying to determine if someone is actually impaired by cannabis. It's a mess. And Rob's report brought to you by the Triangle Pub out of Eastport. Great food there, folks. Steak, seafood, atmosphere, it's all awaiting you. Three corners of Eastport, Manor Road, Old Country Road, and Old Montauk Highway, the fantastic Triangle Pub out of Eastport. Sir, stay well. We'll talk next week.
Talk to you then, Jack.